with Hill Country Patriot Advertisers.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And now, it's time for the radio show that covers just about every topic. Because variety is the spice of life. From the arcane and unusual to current events and practical tips. Because if it's interesting, they'll be talking about it. And now here's Bill and Allison Mancara.
Thank you, Harley. Thank you.
Thank you, Harley.
Hey, Allison.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Allison. Oh, 8:07 is our Hill Country time, and your Hill Country Patriot time, your information station, and you're with Bill and Allison this morning for the next couple of hours.
That's right.
All right, eight till ten
every Saturday.
That's correct. We always like to begin our show with a verse. This is from Ephesians chapter 6, very familiar to most Christians, I believe. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Dr. Cornelius Van Til wrote about this. He said, Christ has assigned to his followers the task of breaking down the works of darkness everywhere. These works must be broken down absolutely. The soldiers of Christ must give no quarter to the enemies of Christ. And as they are on their daily search and destroy mission, this mission must begin with the daily cleansing of their hearts. That is good advice. We have a dense fog outside, if you haven't
looked out.
So be very, very, don't go out if you don't have to go out.
We had to.
Yeah, we had to. We don't have a studio in our home, but we drove in it.
People think we do a podcast in our basement.
in our parents' basement. Yes, I know.
But actually, we get in the car and drive to the station.
We do. So that's, again, it's very, very foggy out. So if you don't have to drive, don't do it. And if you have to, go slow. We have, what have we got? Oh, we've got so much going on today. Today, Allison, as you know, this week, rather, is Ronald Reagan's birthday. We're going to be devoting, throughout the show, a tribute to Ronald Reagan. We'll be talking about him. And we've got some of his humor that you're going to hear. So, what you got, Allison?
Well, the biggest news right now is more of a downer. It's the Chinese spy balloon that's right now over the state of Montana, over some nuclear silos. And the Pentagon says that it's going to be in the U.S. for a few more days. And they're refusing to shoot it down. It's currently heading eastward at an altitude of about 60,000 feet, which is about double what commercial aircraft fly. I mean, a commercial aircraft is normally about, 36,000 feet. And there was a massive explosion on Friday where the balloon is, or was, yesterday. Some commercial aircraft have been grounded because of it. It has violated U.S. airspace and international law, but the Pentagon is doing nothing about it. Yeah. They're saying, "Oh, well, we can't shoot it down because it might hurt
harm the environment."
Yeah, it might harm the environment, or the debris will come down and kill somebody. Well, as I heard somebody point out last night. Why didn't they shoot it down when it was over the ocean?
Yeah, they've been tracking it since it left China.
Yeah, exactly. So why is it going to be remaining over the United States for several days.
Well, it's the Chinese are testing to see if Biden has any spine at all, which he does not.
Mm-hmm.
He can't even pop a balloon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, you know, they're so it's a provocation, and they'll just keep escalating. I mean, they might next we might see Chinese jet fighters flying over the United States.
Yeah, that's true.
And they'll say, "Well, he's not doing anything about it."
Well, the only thing that they have done is that the Secretary of State Anthony Blinken was going to Beijing, and he's postponed his trip.
Ooh, that must scare them.
Yeah.
No, this is absolutely disgusting.
And Biden was at a press briefing, and he was asked about the postponement, and he ignored the question.
Yeah, I saw that clip. They were shouting mm-hmm. questions to mm-hmm. him about the balloon and all that, and he just walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Just walked away. No, he is... I don't know. I mean, is he the worst president in United States history so far?
I think so.
So far. Yeah, I mean, if he were president and during the 1941 when Pearl Harbor was attacked, what do you think he would have done? Sent a stern note?
No, I don't think he would have done that. Here in the bunker, we have a picture, Dumb and Dumber. Oh, Bill, it's over on the wall. Can you see it?
No, I can't see it.
See, over to the right of America, Let's Roll.
No, I don't see it.
Dumb and Dumber. It's a picture of Biden and Kamala, or whatever her name is.
She doesn't know what her name
is. I know. She pronounces it differently all the time.
Yeah, well, I only have two words for that.
Let me start off with two words. Made in America.
Yeah, Joe. Only got two words for that. Yesterday, he came out with another classic.
More than half the women in my cabinet, more than half the people in my cabinet, more than half the women in my administration are women.
More than half the women are women?
Yes. Now, I'm not sure of that gotcha. With all the trans people.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Administration. Maybe it is only half the women are women. Yeah, I don't know. You know, speaking of all that stuff, you know, I see some pretty dumb, stupid things come shooting through my emails every day. You know, the one that left me scratching my head a couple of days ago was President Obama's comment. This isn't even Biden saying something stupid like this. Obama, who I thought was, Obama's... Say what you will about him; he's a pretty smart guy.
Okay? Yeah. Well, I.
Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't say
you're right.
Things,
I don't like him, but
right. He wouldn't say the things.
But
that
he's probably
says.
Not stupid.
No, he's not. But he said the other day, the U.S. should protect abortion rights for future generations. Think about that.
You mean the future generations who are being aborted?
Yeah, I thought abortion wiped out future generations. I mean, dead babies don't need rights. What am I missing? What am I missing? Oh, man. 8:20 is our Hill Country Patriot time. You're listening to Bill and Allison, and Hill Country Patriot is your information station. And as I say, we are Bill and Allison. We are sometimes wrong.
But we're always right. We're
always right. Right. We're fighting a never-ending battle for truth. Justice.
And the American way.
Absolutely. We are, by the way, non-Bidenary here. If you, so if you're looking for Bidenarianism, you will not find it. Bill and Allison or on the Hill Country Patriot, your
that's
information
right.
station.
Not from any of our hosts there.
That's true. That's true. We've got, as I said earlier in the program, this is our Ronald Reagan tribute show. Actually, we're going to probably have some more in the next show as well. Ronald Reagan's birthday is the 6th, which is just 2 days from now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought we'd do a little tribute to Ronald Reagan. And a lot of people remember him, but a lot of people don't. I mean, it's been a while. And here is something that Alice and I thought you would enjoy.
Yes, today is my birthday. 75 years ago, I was born in Tampico, Illinois, in a little flat above the bank building. He didn't have any other contact with the bank than that. Now, here I am, sort of living above the store again. I don't know whether you know it or not, but I have a new hobby. I am collecting stories that I can actually prove are told among the Russian people. They make them up themselves. They tell them between themselves. Reveals they got a great sense of humor. And they've also got a little cynical attitude about things in their country. And one of these stories, the one I'm going to tell you, I told to General Secretary Gorbachev. And he laughed. The story was an American and a Russian arguing about their two countries. And the American said, look, in my country, I can walk into the Oval Office, I can pound the president's desk and say, Mr. President, I don't like the way you're running our country. And the Russian said, I can do that. The American said, you can? He says, yes. I can go into the Kremlin, to the General Secretary's office, pound his desk and say, Mr. General Secretary, I don't like the way President Reagan's running his country.
Mr. President, distinguished members of the Congress, honored guests, and fellow citizens, today marks my first State of the Union address to you, a constitutional duty as old as our republic itself. President Washington began this tradition in 1790 after reminding the nation that the destiny of self-government and the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty is finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. For our friends in the press who place a high premium on accuracy, let me say, I did not actually hear George Washington say that.
I can define middle-aged. That's when you're faced with two temptations and you choose the one that'll get you home at 9 o'clock.
Well, he was talking in that about being born in Tampico, Illinois.
Yep.
Above the bank.
And
Bill and I have been there.
Yes, we have. It's a little
just
flat.
A little apartment.
Yeah, right above the bank. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you can still do it, but at the time you could go in, and we were the only ones there.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed us the bank and gave us a copy of it. They gave us a check from the bank.
Oh, that's right.
Which is I have in my office. And then we go upstairs and we saw where he was born and mm-hmm. lived for a couple.
I don't think he lived there very long.
Not very long. His family moved to Dixon, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And that's where he went to high school and was a lifeguard on the Rock River. And I happen to know all this because I grew up just down the road from there, mm-hmm. In Moline, Illinois.
And you, like he, were in radio there.
Yes. Well, that's a good point. Yeah. He started his radio career. A lot of people know about Ronald Reagan's radio career. Think of WHO in Des Moines, which is a blowtorch station. But he started his radio career at WOC in Davenport, Iowa. That stands for World of Chiropractic, by the way, because Davenport is where Dr. Palmer founded chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan started.
I would say chiropractors in our audience
know
that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I ran into a chiropractor a couple of weeks ago, and I said, oh, I grew up right across the river from Davenport, Iowa. And, of course, he knew exactly where that was. But anyway, he started at WOC in Davenport, Iowa, and he was a sports announcer. And the way he did sports announcing, and really this was a trial by fire. He really learned how to improvise and be more comfortable talking to people and audiences. He would take the teletype stories as they came in of games. It was the reporters were at the games, and they would have a teletype, which probably nobody knows. Very few people know now what that means. Well, but it's
we shouldn't admit that we do.
It's yeah, really. And that's called rip and read. But he would rip and read. Reporters would be typing on their teletypes of what was going on in the baseball game, for example. And Ronald Reagan would rip it off the teletype machine and read it, but not read it verbatim. He would act like he was at the game. he would say, Joe Smith has just hit a fly ball. Let's see where it's going to go. And that kind of stuff, where it's all, he's like 10 minutes, whatever, behind the actual action. But he learned how to do that. And he apparently was very good at it because he got a job at WHO in Des Moines right after that. Well, we are Bill and Allison, and it is a very special day. We'll have more about Ronald Reagan and more cuts about his humor, examples of his humor, pretty soon after our break.
And also coming up, some over-the-counter eye drops that you should stop using.
Ooh. We'll be back right after this.
Withstanding every test, oh, empire-wide and glorious, you stand supremely blessed. Texas, oh, Texas, your freeborn single star sends out its radiance to nations near and far. Emblem of freedom, it sets our hearts aglow with thoughts of San Jacinto and glorious Alamo. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and word throughout the ages long. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and word throughout the ages long.
The Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison. Hill Country Patriot, your information station. Well, we told you that we were going to tell you about some eye drops that you should stop taking if you have them, and apparently they're being pulled off the market. It's some over-the-counter eye drops for apparently for for dryness, and it's called Urzicare Artificial Tears, and it's a lubricant to treat irritation and dryness, and they're causing infections. There's a bacteria and it's not known if it's coming from where it's coming from. Several people have been hospitalized, and at least one has died from it.
Ooh.
So
it hasn't been pulled off the market?
Well, it has. They have stopped selling it, but check your medicine cabinet, and if you have Urzicare Artificial Tears, throw them away.
How do you spell it?
Urzicare. Artificial tears.
Well, that's important information, Allison. Thank you for that. 8:32 is our Hill Country Patriot time. You're listening to Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a lot going on today. Got our Hill Country events, which will be coming up in the next hour. So things that you need to know about going on in the Hill Country. Allison.
What?
Allison.
What?
You've got some, did you want to do your new feature? I think you've got your new feature coming up. You want to wait for that? Let me just tease it.
Okay.
We have a new feature coming up. Allison's preparing for it, but actually we have two new features. We introduced a new feature last show, and it's called our Woke Alert. So whenever you hear the siren, you know it's time for a Woke Alert.
We're going to tell you what's being woke.
What's being woke? What's woke lately? Well, the British magazine, medical journal, The Lancet.
Lancet?
Yeah, that's the premier medical journal of Great Britain. They say that doctors and other healthcare professionals should shift away from human-centered healthcare because all life is equal. Now, I have to explain this. As far as I understand it, it says that the health of humans is equal to the health of domestic and wild animals, plants, and the wider environment. So I guess if you go to the emergency room and there's a philodendron waiting for treatment, that they will get the preference if you come in after the philodendron. The traditional approach to healthcare is that the human being is the center of medical attention and concern. And I'm quoting now from the British Medical Journal Lancet. However, we need to change this to recognize the importance of non-human animals and the environment. All life is, this is again a quote from the Lancet, quote, all life is equal and of equal concern. So the life of a human being is not necessarily worth more than the life of any non-human animal or plant. I suppose that's true. We can't prescribe antibiotics because it kills germs. And germs are just as important as human beings.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good
point. Yeah. Wow. I mean, talk about nuts. Wow. But it's, you know, they what do you say about that? That's our woke alert. That's our new one of our new features. We've got another new feature coming up later in the program that Allison is in charge of. That'll be later in the show. But that's a little preview for you of the so when you hear that, you know Allison is going to do her brand new version of our new feature.
Celebration.
It's called Celebration. It's a reason. Allison's new feature, I will lift the curtain a little bit. It's reasons to celebrate. You know, it's always good to have reasons to celebrate because so many depressing things going on in the world and all that. It's always nice to have reasons to celebrate. And one reason we are celebrating today is the birthday of Ronald Reagan. This is our birthday show week, and probably do have some more later. But right now, we wanted to give you some more of Ronald Reagan's humor.
A realtor who was out driving on a back road on his way to look at some property and suddenly noticed down beside him was a chicken keeping pace with him, and he was doing 60 miles an hour. And suddenly the chicken spurted out ahead of him, and it looked to him as if the chicken had three legs. And then it turned and went down a side road and into a barnyard, and the driver turned down that lane, drove into the barnyard. There was a farmer there, and he asked him, he said, did you see a chicken go by here? And the farmer said, yep. He says, did it have three legs? And the farmer says, yep. I raise them that way. I breed them. He says, you do? He says, how come? Well, he said, I just love the drumstick, and Ma always liked the drumstick, and now Junior's come along, and he likes it, and we just got tired of fighting over it. So I've been breeding three-legged chickens. And the driver said, well, how do they taste? He says, I don't know. I haven't been able to catch one yet. Now, there's nothing I enjoy more than a little country humor. One of the great things about having you here is that I get to tell a farm joke. Now, first, I need a setting, but Rick, you're from Kansas, right?
You bet.
Okay, this takes place in Kansas. Was an old Kansas farmer there. He had a piece of creek bottom land that had never been developed at all. It was all rocks and brush and all messed up. And he started in on it, clearing it, the underbrush, and hauling away the rocks, and then cultivating the soil there. And he planted a garden, everything from vegetables on to corn. It really became a garden spot, and he was pretty proud of what he'd done. So one Sunday morning in church after the service, he asked the preacher if he wouldn't stop by to have a look. Well, the preacher arrived, and he took one look, and he said, oh, this is wonderful. He said, these are the biggest tomatoes I've ever seen. Praise the Lord. He said, those green beans, that squash, those melons, he said, the Lord really has blessed this place. And look at the height of that corn. He said, the God has really been good. And the old boy was listening to all this, and he was getting more and more fidgety. And finally, he blurted out, Reverend, I wish you could have seen it when the Lord was doing it by himself. I've always thought of the importance of communication and how much a part it plays in what you and I, what all of us are trying to do. And one day, a former place kicker with the Los Angeles Rams, who later became a sports announcer, Danny Villanueva, told me about communications. He said he'd been having dinner over at the home of a young ball player with the Dodgers. The young wife was bustling about getting the dinner ready. They were talking sports, and the baby started to cry. And over her shoulder, his busy wife said to the ball player, change the baby. And he was a young fella, and he was embarrassed in front of Danny, and he said, what do you mean, change the baby? I'm a ball player. That's not my line of work. And she turned around, put her hands on her hips, and she communicated. She said, look, Buster, you lay the diaper out like a diamond, You put second base on home plate. You put the baby's bottom on the pitcher's mound. You hook up first and third, slide home underneath, and if it starts to rain, the game ain't called. You start all over.
Well, that was...
We're reminded of the many traditions of openness and democracy that have marked the history of this city. Amir, missed me.
Yeah, that was Ronald Reagan, President Ronald Reagan, and we're playing some of his best humor in honor of his birthday, which is Monday.
That's right.
February 6th.
We have, Bill and I have been to the Reagan Presidential Library and Museum in Simi Valley, California.
We have.
And I just ran across the flyer from it yesterday, and one thing that I'd totally forgotten about, but it reminded me, there at the museum is Air Force One.
Yes.
I guess they, and also Marine One. And
which is a helicopter.
Yeah, the helicopter. And apparently they retired them both, so they put them at the museum.
Yeah.
And I remember being on Air Force One, but I don't, were we able to walk around it?
Yes, you can walk.
Okay.
We walked through it.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
It's very cool. It's really a spectacular museum called a library, but it's, you know, you don't go there and check out books. It's like all presidential libraries, they're actually museums. And Allison, I like to, you know, if we have the opportunity and we're in some place where there's a presidential library, we make a point of going. We've been to, on that same trip, we went to the Nixon Library. it was quite a contrast from the Reagan Library. If you'll recall, there were very few people at the Nixon Library. It's one of the least visited in the country. The least visited library in the country is right in our backyard.
It's the Johnson Ranch.
The LBJ Library in Austin.
And the ranch
is one of the least visited.
Split Stonewall?
Yes.
In Johnson City, I guess.
It's one of the least visited presidential sites in the country. I think that and possibly, who is that? Martin Van Buren. I think his library is probably the least visited. Did you know Martin Van Buren was pecked to death by a duck, Allison?
I did know that.
Yeah.
By the way, talking about Air Force One, I actually flew on Air Force Two.
Oh, yeah.
Air Force Two is the plane of the vice president.
Yeah, I've seen your matches and photos and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have proof.
Mm-hmm,
well,
I do.
Allison used to work for the Vice President of the United States. Mm-hmm. That's how she got to fly around on Air Force Two.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet the service on that is pretty nice. That's pretty cool. 8:43 is our Hill Country Patriot time. You're listening to Bill and Allison. You are listening to the Hill Country Patriot, which is your information station for Kerrville, Fredericksburg.
The entire Hill Country.
Entire Hill Country, really. Comfort, Bandera, Hunt, Ingram, Johnson City, Mountain Home, Stonewall, Center Point, and environs in between. So, and we are happy to have you. We're very happy to have you. Well, as I said, this is Ronald Reagan's celebratory show, and we'll have some more of his humor coming up a little later in the show, along with Allison's new feature, which she's very excited about. I've got some, there it is.
What do you have?
Well, you know, the old Farmer's Almanac comes out once a year, and it's just amazing to me how accurate they are in their predictions of the weather, okay? They don't tell you how they do it, but they predict the weather over a year in advance for all areas of the country. Overall accuracy rate in forecasting the direction of temperature departure, whether it's going to be 2 degrees warmer in this month, or there's actually they go down by weeks and days and things. Traditional average rate since whenever they started doing this, they've been publishing since 1792. I don't know if they've been doing weather since 1792. I doubt it. I mean, 1792, there were only about five states.
Right.
So they weren't predicting the weather for Nevada or California.
Remember at the time of the
I know there were more than five states. I know there were 13 original colonies.
No, but the time of that hurricane in Galveston?
Yeah.
Remember that
1900.
Yeah, that was the very early days of weather forecasting.
That's true.
Because we both read a really terrific book on it by Greg Larson. Is that who wrote it?
Eric Larson.
Eric Larson,
and
yeah.
The book is called Isaac's Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommended if you're interested.
Excellent.
If you're interested in the subject at all, it's a true story of the worst natural disaster in American history, which is the hurricane that hit Galveston in 1900
mm-hmm.
and flattened the whole island.
Mm-hmm.
Killed, I don't remember how many people.
I think it was about 6,000. I don't think they know for sure, but I think it was in the neighborhood of about 6,000.
Yeah, the worst natural disaster in American history.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before global warming or climate change or whatever it's called this week. So the weather forecast for our area, and by our area, we would be the South Region 11, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac, and that's San Antonio, Houston. You know, they don't get specific about Hill Country. But what they're saying is they called for, and this shows you how smart they are, or how, you know, whatever methods they have. Winter will be colder than normal. Remember, they wrote this over a year ago. Winter will be colder than normal.
It already has been this past week.
That's right. The coldest periods early to mid-January. And early to mid-February.
Mm-hmm.
They said this, mm-hmm. figured this a year and a half ago or something. Okay, what they're saying for February, for us, temperatures will be 4 degrees below normal. Precipitation will be half an inch below normal. And they say the first 10 days of February, which we're basically in the middle of, periods of rain and very cold. And they're right on. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? They're just absolutely right on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Old Farmer's Almanac. Plus, you know, if you've never seen it, it's got all sorts of cool stories. And, you know, I love the ads because they're so weird. But anyway, 847 is our Hill Country Patriot Time with Bill and Allison. And there's Kinky Friedman. That's one of his newer songs, isn't it, Allison? You're an expert on Kinky Friedman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, coming up is Allison's brand new feature that you'll have a lot of reasons to celebrate. Isn't that correct, Allison?
Yes, it is.
That'll be right after the short break coming up.
The Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
And it's 8:51 is our Hill Country Patriot Time. You're with Bill and Allison. We're on every Saturday from 8 to 10.
In the morning.
And where else can we be found, Allison?
First couple of texasradio.com, where you can find recordings of our shows.
Yeah, you can find recordings of our past shows. You can find interviews that we've done. You can find some more interesting information there that mm-hmm. you may not find on the show, the regular show. And you can sign up to get email announcements of when we post something new. So that's first couple of texasradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a business website called papersourceonline.com. If you're interested in real estate investment, real estate note investing, you might want to check that out. That's mm-hmm. papersourceonline.com. See what we teach there. President Biden is admitting that working and lower middle class Americans typically favor Republicans. How about that?
No kidding.
Yeah. He says the reason is that Republicans are now national populists, basically. You know, Trump is a populist.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats increasingly embrace the rich. Upper middle class and wealthy values. Did you know that the top zip codes in America for people who donate to the Democrat Party are the wealthiest zip codes in America?
Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah. He says that people don't think Democrats care. This is And pollsters have found that Democrats have become the party of elite values, Republicans with the America First agenda, focusing on the quality of life for nations working and middle classes, are more in line with most voters. They're concerned with skyrocketing prices, the recession, rising crime, uncontrolled immigration. Democrats with their elite values, well, for example, in the 2020 election, Democrats dominated with dark money groups funded by billionaires. The nation's biggest banks and Wall Street executives lined up behind Biden against former President Trump. Yesterday, President Biden talked about the diversity in his administration. So listen carefully, and as President Biden tells you about the diversity in his administration.
More than half the women in my cabinet, more than half the people in my cabinet, more than half the women in my administration are women.
What? More than half of the women are women. Okay. Well, as I say, we know he has a lot of transgenders there, so maybe he's right. Maybe only half the women are actually women. We don't know.
Okay, we have a lot to celebrate today.
And yeah, this is our new feature. Allison's in charge.
And after I go through this list of things that we're celebrating today, keep in mind that your government pays to make these official holidays.
Well, they're not official.
They're not?
The banks and the federal governments are closed. Okay.
But aren't they like congressional...
Yes.
Declarations. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Okay. One. Today is National Thank a Mail Carrier Day.
Right.
Now, should I share my experience with our mail carrier in Alexandria?
Okay.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think I do. Alexandria, Virginia, where we used to live.
Yeah, just outside of Washington, D.C. We lived in a house, and we moved to a different house just about a block away. And I put in a mail change order, and because I wanted to make sure everything, you know, would get to our new house on time. But it kept going into the old house, and which is fine. We weren't moved out yet, but we were going back and forth, you know, carrying stuff. And so I called the post office, and this man answered, and I said, well, I put in a change order. And we're still getting mail at the old address. And the guy said, are you that cute blonde?
That's right, baby.
And it was
our mail carrier.
It was our mail carrier who answered the phone. And
this is no small town.
Oh, no. This is a big city. And he knew that we hadn't moved out of the old house yet.
Yeah, that's why I kept delivering the mail. Yeah, we hadn't completed our move. He was also the one, after we did move out and we'd, you know, we hadn't sold it or anything. He said, I went by your old house the other day. And
I forgot about that.
He said, in the front window, there's a squirrel sitting up inside the house.
I forgot about that.
And, you know, how do you get a squirrel out of the house? I mean, we didn't really have the money to call an exterminator. We had to figure it out ourselves. And somebody said, well, what you do is you open a window and you put some peanut butter on a cracker.
Oh, that's right.
And then the squirrel will do that and then leave. Well, yeah. Guess what else happens? Every squirrel in the neighborhood comes in, sees the peanut butter, and goes in the house. So that doesn't work real well.
Well, okay. I want to tell you what else today is.
All right.
National Play Outside Day. Although I don't think we're going to do that here in Hill Country today. It's a little bit... Ice Cream for Breakfast Day. National Hemp Day, National Homemade Soup Day.
Wow.
National Creative Vacuum Day.
What? You mean like Build a Vacuum Cleaner Day?
No. It explores spaces and void of matter. On this day, we're...
Say that again?
It explores spaces void of matter. On this day, we're challenged to create one, a vacuum. A vacuum is created when the pressure inside a space is lower than the pressure outside. you can go online and watch a video about how to do it.
Yeah, just, I don't know, I might be too busy because I have some Easter eggs to color for next Easter, so I may not have time for that. That's crazy. Well, as you pointed out, Allison, well, Allison and I used to work in Congress, professional staff of Congress in Washington, D.C., and every time a day, you know, what happens is some lobbyist with the, you know, wool association wants a national wool day, or as these things that, you know, that Allison's been reading about. And they go to a congressman and say, gee, would you introduce this bill? And they've written it up already and everything. Of course, he wants to curry favor with them because they'll contribute to his next political campaign, you know, the national pork producers or whatever. So he says, sure. So he introduces a bill. Well, nobody votes against it, except a few people. my boss would vote against it. Ron Paul would. My boss, Dan Crane would.
Because they knew that it cost money.
They figured out how much it costs.
Printing.
It costs
printing.
Like several hundred thousand dollars to print the congressional records with this crap in it.
Exactly.
And then there has to be an official document, a declaration saying this is national, you know, cut your toenails day. And so my boss and Ron Paul, Larry McDonald, just a handful of other members of Congress would vote against these things.
Mm-hmm.
And politically, it wasn't smart sometimes. It was like National Grandparents Day. And we would, advise, Dan, you got to vote for this. Absolutely not. You would not vote for it. How's that going to look in the next campaign? He voted against National Grandparents Day. But it didn't hurt him. It didn't hurt him. We're going to be back. We're Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. And we're going to be back right after the news break. And we're going to tell you about the best fishing days. And we have an interview with the head of the Hill Country Wine Association. So stay tuned. It's really going to be fun.
KRNH HD2, Kerrville. K271CH, Fredericksburg. K2A2BI, Kerrville. The Hill Country Patriot.
The Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Now, the first couple of Texas radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
That's us.
That's what they call us. We didn't give ourselves that name. That's the station gave us that name.
They did.
We're running with it. We pay a lot of money for consultants to do that.
Which is why our website is firstcoupleoftexasradio.com, where you can hear recordings of our shows.
Yeah, and sign up to get an announcement when we post a new show or something else. We might post. You never know. We might post there.
Really?
Really interesting things there. Yeah. Okay. Well, the best fishing days for those of you who are fishermen and fisherwomen. Is that still okay to say fishermen?
I doubt it.
Fisher person. Whoa. Okay. Fish tend to feed more at sunrise and sunset and during a full moon.
Hmm.
Okay.
That's why fishermen go out in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So early in the morning?
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not a fisherman.
Well, there's two times. You go right after sunup for an hour or so is the best time, or just before sundown and the hour or so after.
Hmm. Now, that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. So you could still be a fisher person.
And we have some place to fish in.
Also, during the rise and setting of the moon is a good time to go fishing. When the barometer is steady or on the rise, when there is a hatch of flies, well, that makes sense.
What's a hatch of flies?
It's like a murder of crows.
Okay.
If you don't know, that's the official term for a bunch of crows. Uh-huh. It's a murder of crows.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a hatch of flies.
Okay.
All right? Well, no, they're hatching. That's where they get the term.
Oh, okay. It's because the fish want to eat them.
That's right. You see fish jumping out of the water to get there.
Yeah,
that's good fishing.
Okay.
When the breeze is from a westerly quarter rather than from the north or east. And also when the water is still or slightly rippled rather than during a wind. So those are the best times to go fishing if you want to catch the most fish. 908, Hill Country Patriot Time, your information station with Bill and Allison. And we are on every Saturday from 8 to 10. Yeah, we occasionally fill in during other times, but that's what we got. What do you got, Allison?
Well, there's a brand new book out, Silent Invasion, and it's by Deborah Birx, who served as the White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator under President Trump. She has admitted in her new book, Silent Invasion, that she quietly called her own shots during the COVID pandemic.
Her own shots? What does that mean? She called her own shots.
Well, she...
vaccinations?
No. She confessed in this book to
manipulating?
manipulating data and quietly altering CDC guidance without the administration's knowledge or authorization.
She changed it in what way?
Probably to make it look worse than it was.
Oh.
Yeah, and okay, and she more than anybody else, well, except maybe for Fauci, she was able to promote and prolong COVID lockdowns, silencing anyone who disagreed with her.
Wow.
And to the incessant praise of mainstream media outlets.
Oh, yeah, they're sycophants.
Well, I remember at the time thinking, oh, she's so much better than Fauci, but apparently not.
Well, you know, Allison, I don't know if everybody in our audience knows, but a couple of things. Number one, Tony Fauci made more money than mm-hmm. any other federal government employee, including the President of the United States,
mm-hmm.
including his boss,
mm-hmm.
Francis Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Fauci's wife is, as far as I know, still is, in charge of the ethics enforcement at the National Institutes of Health, where Fauci works. So you can see her coming down on her husband for ethics violations, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that should be illegal. That should absolutely be illegal. If your wife in charge of your, the ethics at the place you work. That's speaking of wives, Elaine Chao, who was President Trump's Secretary of, I think, Transportation, is a Chinese, is Chinese, mm-hmm. And her family in communist China owns a very large corporation, which is, they run it, but it's owned by the Chinese communists, and she is very tight with the Chinese communists, and guess who she's married to? Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader of
mm-hmm.
the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you just wonder what that's all about. What that's all about. 9/11 is our Hill Country Patriot time, and what favors Mitch McConnell does for communist China. We mm-hmm. know that Joe Biden has been paid off by the communists. That's why he's not doing anything about the spy balloon. And we talked about this earlier in the show.
Yeah.
But, he's...
I mean, that to me, that's an outrage.
Oh, it's the weakest thing I've ever heard of a president doing in history. He's so weak he can't even pop a balloon, but...
Well, and as I... their claim now is that, people will get on the ground, will be hurt, or it'll harm the environment.
If they shoot it down?
But it could have been shot down when it was over the ocean.
Yeah, they tracked it from China over the Pacific Ocean. They could have shot it down any time. It's international waters. But they're testing Biden. They're testing to see just how weak he is, what he'll put up with. The next thing we'll see is Chinese fighters. I don't know. They're going to bomb Pearl Harbor, and Biden will, send them a strongly worded note. Probably not even that. Dense fog advisory up until 10 o'clock this morning. And visibility all over the Hill Country is very bad. 1/4 mile or less. That's going to, as I say, that's the advisory, official Weather Service advisory until 10 a.m. this morning, which is about an hour from now.
Did you know that this past Wednesday, February 1st, was National Texas Day?
No, I did not. What is National Texas? Does every state have a national day?
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. This was just handed to me.
What, your left hand handed it to your right hand?
Some of our favorite foods and drinks actually originated in Texas, including, I'm sure everybody knows Dr. Pepper, which was established in 1885.
And do you know where in Texas it was established? Where the museum is? You should know this. I bet you do. Say yes.
Where
your family...
I've seen it.
Your family... Yes, you've seen it. We've never been in it, I don't think.
No.
We've seen signs for it. Okay, where your family reunions take place?
Divine?
No.
Waco?
Yeah, Waco.
Oh, okay.
Waco.
Okay.
Yeah. Allison's family reunions, one year was in Waco right after the... I'm blanking.
The Branch Davidians.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right after the Branch Davidians...
Massacre.
She had a family reunion, and she also had a family reunion in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City.
Exactly 1 year after the school shooting.
Yes.
Which was actually fascinating to be there.
Not school shooting, bombing. The bombing.
Oh, the bombing. Bombing. Building. Okay.
Yeah. So you've also had a reunion in Uvalde, but also so. Yeah. Oh, you should meet her family. Interesting folks.
What I want to point out was we were in Oklahoma City exactly 1 year after the bombing, and it was really fascinating to be there because we'd seen it, obviously, everybody's seen it on TV, but we didn't realize until we were there in person the scope of it. I mean, we were in a high up building. And it was, devastation was for blocks around. I mean, it wasn't just there at the school. It was for blocks around. Buildings were destroyed. Now, going back, you know, we were there just a couple years ago, and you wouldn't know that anything had happened, except they do have a memorial there. But other than that, you know, everything is put back together.
Yeah, it was, the amount of devastation, it wasn't just the Murrah Federal Building, it was.
I refer to it as school. It was. That's right. It was a federal building.
Blocks around. Devastation. Mm-hmm.
I guess the reason I was thinking it was a school because there was a, like a nursery school.
Yeah, there was in
it,
there.
Daycare for the employees.
Yeah.
Well, okay. No, let me continue with.
Well, before we we do, General Ben Parton, was the. I'm going from memory here, I believe, chief ordnance officer of the entire United States Army. So he was the explosives expert of the United States Army. And he was our neighbor in Alexandria. That's right. He, when Oklahoma City bombing was, he investigated. I believe he was retired by then. And he investigated that, went there, studied everything, and he wrote a report. He is convinced, this isn't just some whack job, this is the guy, the chief person in the United States Army, head of Army Ordnance, who knows more about explosives than probably, you know, anybody, said that it was not a truck filled with fertilizer that did this.
Right.
It was explosives, and he pinpointed where the explosives were planted on the supports of the Murrah Federal Building.
Mm-hmm.
It's a general, look it up, General Ben Parton, P-A-R-T-O-N. I-N, or P-N, I'm sorry.
E-N.
A-N.
Isn't it
A-N? P-A-R-T-A-N, Partan.
I thought it was E-N.
Okay, it could be E-N.
Okay.
It doesn't matter, that's not the point.
Well, I suppose we're going to go Google him, they need to know how to spell his name. Okay, well, I started talking about food that originated in food and beverage that originated here in Texas. Whataburger was founded in Corpus Christi in 1950. Frozen margaritas were created by Mariano Martinez in 1971.
Really?
Yeah. Now the margarita was invented long before that.
Oh.
When, I don't know, but the frozen margarita was 1971. Frito pie was first created in 1946. Pecan pie recipes first started appearing in Texas cookbooks as far back as the 1870s.
Okay, so pecan pie was invented in Texas?
I don't think so. Probably, I think Georgia is more.
Why don't we say
no?
Well, we can say it was.
they start appearing in cookbooks. Bluebell ice cream was founded in Brenham in 1907. Mm-hmm. And Texas has more beef cattle than any other state in the U.S.
Oh,
and we can
more than Florida. I thought Florida was number one.
Really? Well, I
believe you.
I can attest. We were driving. We were up in the Panhandle, and we're coming into Dalhart. in the panhandle, and we saw cows as far as the eye could see. And we talked to a friend a couple days later, and I said, how many cows are there? And he said, oh, probably about 250,000.
Yeah, a lot more than people in Dalhart.
Yeah.
Probably 10,000 cows for every person in Dalhart.
And Texas has some unusual laws that you might not know about. In El Paso, churches, assembly halls, hotels, banks, shops, train depots, and saloons must all have spittoons. If they don't, they're violating the law.
Really?
In Texas, it's illegal to drive without windshield wipers, even though a windshield itself is not required. In Port Arthur, it is illegal to emit obnoxious odors in an elevator.
Okay. Wow. 9:19 is our Hill Country Patriot time, and Bill and Allison are on the Hill Country Patriot, which is your information station. We're also located at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com, where you can hear our past shows and also sign up to get notified when we have new ones coming up. We're going to do some more next week as well, but this is Ronald Reagan's birthday week, and President Reagan was a very funny guy. He was, I can tell you, I worked for him, and privately he was the same as, his public image, just very genial, friendly, he talked to you like you're the only person in the room, but his sense of humor was legendary. And so what Alice and I have done is compile some of the best clips that we could find of President Ronald Reagan.
This was a Democratic fundraising rally at a hotel, and outside, when all of them were coming out, there was a kid there with a bunch of puppies, and he was trying to sell them, and he was saying, come buy a Democrat puppy, buy a Democrat puppy. 2 weeks later, the Republicans held a fundraiser in the same hall. And there was the same kid with the same puppies. When they were coming out, he was saying, buy a Republican puppy. Well, one of the press, a newspaper man who'd seen him 2 weeks before, said, hey, kid, wait a minute. 2 weeks ago, you were trying to sell these puppies as Democrats. What are you doing here now trying to sell them as Republicans? The kid says, now they got their eyes open.
Mr. President, I want to raise an issue that I think has been lurking out there for 2 or 3 weeks and cast it specifically in national security terms. You already are the oldest president in history, and some of your staff say you were tired after your most recent encounter with Mr. Mondale. I recall yet that President Kennedy had to go for days on end with very little sleep during the Cuba Missile Crisis. Is there any doubt in your mind that you would be able to function in such circumstances?
Not at all. Mr. Truitt, and I want you to know that also I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience.
As Henry VIII said to each one of his six wives, I won't keep you long.
I always think age is relative. There was once a very famous baseball pitcher, Satchel Paige, and no one quite knew how old Satchel was, but he still was throwing that ball. And somebody asked him about that, and his wise answer was, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? And that's how I came up with 39. Well, the late Jack Benny had something to do with that. He was 39 for more than 40 years. I can't close without one story about doctors that he will understand very well. Have you ever noticed how easy it is if you're introduced to someone at a party or a dinner or something and he's introduced as doctor? And then there's always those people that suddenly start saying, doctor, I've been having... Well, we had a fellow in show business, Moss Hart, the playwright, who was an inveterate along that line. And so one night at a cocktail party in Hollywood, he was introduced to a Dr. Jones. And almost immediately he started talking about, I've been having this low back pain. And the fellow that introduced them said, Moss, Dr. Jones is a doctor of economics. And that didn't stop Moss at all. He said, Doctor, I was buying some stock the other day.
That's funny. That's good stuff. Ronald Reagan, it's his birthday Monday. So we're celebrating, celebrating with him. And he was quite a guy. We sure miss him as president, I'll tell you that. I thought he was going to tell the story about the this last one about the doctor at a party. There was the story goes like this. Doctor and a lawyer are talking at a party, and the doctor says to the lawyer, you know, I'll bet you get the same kind of thing I get. I'll be, you know, at a party or walking down the street. Somebody will say, oh, doctor, you know, I have this pain. What should I do? And he says, I know they're just trying to avoid making an appointment and paying a bill. But I don't know whether I should give them advice or whether I should tell them to make an appointment, or I don't know how to handle it. And the lawyer says, well, what you need to do is just say, that sounds too complicated for me to talk about. I'd have to examine you. I suggest you make an appointment. And then, of course, you can send them a bill. And the doctor said, that's great advice. Thank you very much. And a couple days later, the doctor gets a bill in the mail from the lawyer. 925 Hill Country Patriot Time with Bill and Allison. And we are on every Saturday from 8 to 10. If you miss us there, you can catch us on First Couple of TexasRadio.com. First Couple of TexasRadio.com. And we have, let's see, where are we going next, Allison?
January.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. The Texas Wine Association has a program, which we're going to tell you about in a moment. Really interesting. So if you're interested in wines, interested in Texas wines, or you probably know somebody who is, you or they will want to know about this. And so we recently interviewed, this is only a couple minute cut, we recently interviewed January Wiese, who's executive director of the Texas Hill Country Wine Association.
And we're talking with January Wiese, who is executive director of the Texas Hill Country Wineries. Thank you for joining us, January. We really appreciate it.
Hi, thank you both for having me.
And tell us about the Wine Lover Celebration.
Sure. So the Wine Lover Celebration is one of our four passport events that we host throughout the year. It runs from January 30th to February 24th, and it is a self-guided passport event where you purchase a ticket from us on the website, and then you get a digital passport code that can be scanned at each participating winery throughout the event. With that ticket, you get a full complimentary tasting at each winery, and then a 15% discount on 3-bottle purchases at each winery.
How do people sign up for this?
Yeah, you can visit our website, texaswinetrail.com, and right there on the homepage is an ad for the Wine Lovers Celebration, and you can click right there, and it'll take you to the tickets, which are $100 for a couple's passport and $65 for an individual passport.
That's a real bargain.
Yes, the average tasting price at the wineries is about $20 for a tasting. So if you're visiting four wineries a day for an individual person, you are looking at $80. And so you're saving money the first day on an individual passport and certainly on a couple's passport.
And I understand that some of this money goes to a scholarship fund. Is that correct?
Yes, $5 from every ticket sold goes to our Texas Wine Industry Scholarship Fund. We are able to award students across the state at Texas universities enrolled in viticulture, oenology, hospitality, and marketing scholarships each year, which is a huge positive for our industry, growing our industry.
Again, how can people sign up for the Wine Trail Passport?
Visit our website, TexasWineTrail.com, and click on the Wine Lovers Celebration ad right there on the homepage.
Bring me sunshine.
Coming up after the break, in your smile, we're going to be telling you about a couple of spectacular solar events coming up here in Hill Country.
All the while, in this world, where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy we can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy.
The Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
.9 32 is our Hill Country Patriot time. You're with Bill and Allison.
And it's still foggy out there.
It is. The Hill Country Patriot, your information station. Allison and I are sometimes wrong.
But we're always right. We're
always right. Right. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice.
And the American way.
The American way. And we are, trigger warning, non-Bidenary. We are non-Bidenary. And speaking of our president, he said this week some amazing things about how diverse his administration is.
More than half the women in my cabinet, more than half the people in my cabinet, more than half the women in my administration are women.
More than half of the women.
Let me start off with two words. Made in America.
More than half of the women are women. And that's more than two words, by the way. Made in America. But that's all right. We have a dense fog advisory they say it's going to stay in effect until 10 this morning. I say it's going to be longer than that looking out the window.
I think so.
The visibility is very bad out there. It's all over the hill country. So if you don't have to drive, please don't. If you do, take it easy. Be very, very careful out there.
Well, we promised to tell you about a couple of spectacular solar events that are coming up here in Hill Country. In this year, October 14th, 2023, there's going to be an annular solar eclipse. And annular doesn't mean it happens every year. It's a Latin term that refers to the shape of the sun. And it's called a ring of fire solar eclipse because the moon does not totally block out the sun. So there's a ring around it. And also, you need to wear special safety glasses during this event because you will be looking at the sun. And we have already gotten ours because I figure they might be running out or the prices will go up. And next year, even more exciting, there's going to be a total solar eclipse on April 8th. And I don't think I've ever seen an eclipse. So I am very excited about this. And the totality here in the Kerrville area, I'm not sure if it's all across Hill Country where the totality is, but here it's about 4.5 minutes. And as it gets farther away from here, it will be lesser and lesser. So that is really a big deal. And we've invited a lot of friends to come out. And I told somebody yesterday, our house is going to look like an old timers dorm because we're going to have people sleeping on sofas and airbeds and everything else. People from our friends from around the country.
Well, and how many people are they projecting?
That's another thing. Based on there was an eclipse several years ago. There aren't very many eclipses in the United States, so that's why this is such a big deal. But the last one, a town similar in size to Kerrville. Which Kerrville population is what, about 22? Yeah, they expect they got about 150,000 people. So apparently, this area is gearing up for that many people.
Yeah, now, Kerrville, Bandera is going to be in the path of it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember
Ingram,
all the towns.
But Ingram.
Yeah. Okay, so you know it'll be a band, and you'll still be able to see it in other places, but it won't be the length of the totality that it's going to be in that band, Vanderpool, in that area.
And I don't know if those 150,000 people that we are theoretically expecting are going to be staying overnight or
staying
if they
in our house.
Apparently what some people do is they go from place to place. They for example, come to Hill Country and see it, and then they go to the next area where the eclipse is happening. So they don't, but it'll be interesting to see, because I was checking hotel prices, and at this point they're not any higher than they normally are.
That's That's very surprising.
I know.
For that time.
Yeah.
That's very surprising. That's very surprising.
Yeah. I mean, hotels raise their prices, you know, based on events that are going on. And one time we were traveling, and we went through, what's the city where the Masters is held?
Augusta, Georgia.
Augusta. We were driving through Augusta, and we needed a hotel. And this is the hotel that we stayed at was one of those, which I think is a very nice feature. And it puts the dollar amount every day. And it was
on their website?
Yeah, on their website. They have a calendar, and you can look at all the different days. And when we were there, and almost every other day, the hotel room was $75. During the Masters, it was $750 for the exact same hotel room. I mean, it was a very nice hotel.
$750, it better be nice.
It was particularly nice for $75.
Yeah, it was. It was a bad hotel. It was a few years ago, but probably not $75 anymore. But 9:37, Hill Country Patriot time. You're with Bill and Allison, and you are listening to the Hill Country Patriot, which is your information station. We're on from 8 to 10 every Saturday morning. And we're glad you joined us here or on our website, and on our website, I should say, at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. That's firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. This past Wednesday, Senator John Kennedy, who is a Republican from Louisiana, a really interesting guy. He's always, whenever he's on TV or the radio, I want to check it out because he's always got something to say.
I think that President Biden is the only person in the Milky Way who thinks our country is headed in the right direction. Look at the facts. Last year, our economy grew at 1%, 1%. China's economy was shut down. It grew at 3%. 13.5% inflation. Cumulatively, that's what President Biden has given us in 2 years. Average rent up 12%. Average 30-year mortgage has gone from 3% to 6.5%. Average wage down 4%. Because President Biden wouldn't stand up to the teachers' unions, our kids have experienced the largest learning loss in modern history. I don't mean any disrespect, but if that was my record, I would hide my head in a bag. And it doesn't give me joy to say that, Martha, but those are the cold, hard facts. Now, the American people can't cite you all the statistics that I just articulated, but I can tell you what they do know. They understand that our national debt is rising faster than our national output. They understand, the American people do, that the border's wide open. They understand that crime is way up. Mm-hmm. They understand that respect for our institutions is way down. The American people understand that it's harder than ever to get ahead in our country right now. And it's easier than ever to do nothing. And that's why well over 70% of the people think we're headed in the wrong direction. President Biden says, my party, I want to gut Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. And that's just not true. Not even George Santos would make up a whopper like that. And the president knows that. He just believes that he believes that the federal government is what made this country great. I don't. I think ordinary people doing extraordinary things did. But he thinks we ought to send all of our freedom and all of our money to Washington and let him make the decision. And so he's happy to keep spending.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
That was Senator John Kennedy, Republican from Louisiana, who's always got something interesting to say. We're Bill and Allison. 9:42 is our Hill Country Patriot time. We're going to take a little break, a short one. When we come back, a founder of Greenpeace is going to tell us why carbon dioxide in the environment is a good thing. Stay with us for this.
The Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, HillCountryPatriot.com, your information station.
9:46, Hill Country Patriot time. There is a dense fog advisory, and so be very careful out there. Visibility is very short, 1/4 mile or less, and we're hoping that's going to burn off. It should, but right now it's still heavy out there, so all over the Hill Country. So if you don't have to go out, please don't. Just put it off for a while, but drive very carefully. We still have time to get in. We have some more Ronald Reagan humor, but I'll tell you what, we're going to save that for our next show, which is next Saturday at 8 o'clock a.m. Mm-hmm. It's his birthday week, so we
exactly.
We're celebrating
all week long.
All week long. A founder of Greenpeace, which is, I'm sure you know, the radical left-wing environmentalist wacko group, what I call the climate change pearl clutchers. His name is Dr. Patrick Moore, he was interviewed, and he had some, I had to play it a couple of times to believe it myself, some things he has to say about, of course, you know that the bugaboo of the environment, of the radical environmentalists is carbon dioxide, CO2 is horrible. It's killing the planet. We have to have carbon offsets, which basically means you pay somebody to produce carbon. It's actually the major oil companies and things are behind these carbon offsets, so they can produce as much CO2 as they want to. But so this whole thing, the CO2 is destroying the planet. We have to shut down all fossil fuels. That's why it's pushed behind electric vehicles and cutting off the Keystone Pipeline. And you know, we hate fossil fuels. They're destroying the planet. You know, the polar bears are dying, which, by the way, is not true at all. Is the population of polar bears is higher than it's ever been recorded history. Antarctic ice shelf is melting. Well, it's not. We were there a couple of years ago. We didn't check it out personally, but the statistics say it's not melting at all. Sea levels are rising. No, that's not. They're rising, but so incrementally, they do a pattern. Over hundreds of years, there's a pattern of the sea levels rising incrementally and then falling. So it's all baloney. It's all based on control. The elites want to control us, and that's what it is. Anyway, Dr. Patrick Moore, a founder of Greenpeace, the pearl clutchers of the climate change movement, was interviewed, and this is the shock. You'll be shocked at what he has to say about CO2.
One of my missions is to turn on its head the idea that carbon dioxide is a pollutant and somehow dangerous, when in fact it is the most important nutrient for all life on Earth, and without it this would be a dead planet. So I say not only is carbon dioxide good, it is essential. And it's a good thing that we are putting some more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere because it was running low before we came along.
CO2, we know its benefits for plants, but it is a known greenhouse gas, and we're pumping too much of it in, leading to global warming.
Well, actually, it may be a known greenhouse gas, but it's not known how strong it is in terms of changing the Earth's temperature. And so far in this century, there has been zero warming from a statistically significant basis, and the UK Met Office says so, yet 1/3 of all human CO2 emissions have been put into the atmosphere in the last 18 years. So it doesn't look like a lockstep causal relationship between increasing CO2 and warming of the Earth.
Are you seriously suggesting we should be pumping more stuff in, polluting the Earth more, building more coal-fired power stations, just so we can make sure that the CO2 levels are good?
No, I'm not, because we're putting plenty of CO2 into the atmosphere. We don't need to do it this quickly, but if we bring it up to a higher level than it is today, we will get immediately an increase in the growth of crops and trees, which is not a bad thing. In the long run, though, it doesn't matter if we bring it down quite a bit. And so that's why I'm supportive of nuclear energy and of natural gas. This tendency to go in the rich countries to wind and solar is a giant waste of money. Those wind farms will rust in place, and there is no fund to decommission them when they either wear out or we decide how ridiculous it is to spend so much money for so little electricity that isn't even reliable.
What are you saying about energy policy now to the ideas of decarbonization to cut? Is everyone wrong?
Yes, they're wrong if they are actually basing their energy policy on decarbonization. They're not wrong to base their energy policy on cost effectiveness, on pollution control, which is why moving from coal to gas makes sense if you have it. But India has coal, and India has 300 million people with no electricity. What do we expect them to do? Of course they're going to build coal plants, but India is also building a lot more nuclear plants than the UK is right now, and it doesn't have the emissions of a coal plant. And China is building huge hydroelectric dams, which don't have the emissions of coal plants. So many of these countries are doing their bit without wasting all this money on wind and solar energy, which is unreliable and prohibitively expensive in the long run.
Why is this consensus out there?
Look, if we had definitive proof that CO2 was causing serious problems and we could prove it, don't you think they would write that down on a piece of paper somewhere so people could read it? They don't have definitive proof, period, in science. I'm a student of the philosophy and history of science, and I know that the scientific method has not been applied in such a way as to prove that carbon dioxide is causing the Earth to warm. I am firmly of the belief that the future will show that this whole hysteria over climate change was a complete fabrication.
Well, you know what that means. News of the weird.
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
Well, in 1835, a young boy fell down a hole and inadvertently discovered Margate's Shell Grotto in Margate, which is in Kent, England. And it's what the Shell Grotto is 70 feet of underground tunnels that lead to a chamber decorated with arcane symbols made entirely from 4.6 million seashells. Now, one place I read that the origins of it is a mystery. Somebody else said that it's a pagan shrine. So I honestly don't know.
I've never heard of that.
I know.
Where is it?
It's in Margate, which is in Kent, England. And what that did remind me of.
Something happened to Allison.
I know.
What happened?
I didn't know. I
know. Oh, okay.
Something.
I heard a noise, and she stopped talking. Something, I didn't know what was going on.
Something's always happening. What that reminded me of, remember when we were in Rome? Do you remember that very bizarre museum we went to?
Oh, yeah. It was like a catacombs or a museum?
I think it was a museum.
It was in the basement of a church.
Oh, was that what it was? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You want to tell them about that?
You probably remember more about it than I do. But
well,
it was,
what I remember...
It was skulls.
It was skulls and bones.
Of monks.
Yeah, of monks.
And there were like hundreds of
them.
Oh,
yeah. Well, they'd been doing this since since B.C. or something. And they had the whole... All the walls and the ceilings were...
Covered with bones and
with
skulls.
People's bones and skulls. It was the most... And they're very proud of this. This is a big deal to them.
We thought it was pretty weird.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little off the beaten track in Rome, but it was something to see, I'll tell you that. 9:54 is our Hill Country Patriot time. You're with Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station, and we're glad to have you with us. We're here every Saturday from 8 to 10 in the mornings. And we do have a dense fog advisory still remaining in effect. Don't go out. Unless you have to. If you have to, drive very carefully. Make sure your lights are on. Visibility is very poor, and this is throughout the Texas Hill Country.
And if you're out, you can stop by the bunker and say hello.
No.
involved for the next 5 minutes.
No. I had that when we were filling in for Harley, and somebody walked into the bunker, and while I had just been talking about a story about the mafia and how they were killing whatever, I don't remember what the story was, but I was talking about the mafia, and this guy comes in and stands behind me while I'm on the air, and that was very weird. Very, very weird. So,
well, it was the week after Christmas, and Harley said, our advertisers who are normally come into the studio are going to be taking the week off. No, so nobody's going to be coming in. So we didn't expect.
In Harley's defense, he didn't know.
Right. Oh, right.
He was told nobody's going to come.
Right, exactly.
They changed their mind.
Exactly.
So we didn't expect this guy in, and it was like creepy because I'm on the air. I can't turn around because the microphone's in front of me. So I know this guy's standing behind me. I don't know if he's going to strangle me or what, you know, because of my mafia, attack on the mafia. I don't know. Is there a Hill Country mafia?
There could be.
Who knows?
You know what? When I used to live in West Virginia very briefly. Just
my condolences.
Yes.
Yeah, West Virginia. West Virginia. 5 million people, 500 last names.
And where I live was just south of Pittsburgh. And what surprised me to learn was that the mafia was very active in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And West Virginia, too. If you'll remember in history, when John F. Kennedy was running for president, the West Virginia vote against Nixon, the West Virginia vote helped to turn West Virginia and Illinois helped to turn the election toward Kennedy. That was one of, if not the closest election as far as popular vote, I believe, in history. And it was the mafia of West Virginia that turned it in favor of Kennedy. Because Joe Kennedy, John F. Kennedy's father, made a deal with Sam Giancana, Tony Accardo, Chicago Mafia, that he said, if my boy Jack Kennedy becomes president, he will not go after the mafia. He will leave you guys alone. But in return, you got to help get him elected. And so they did. And they turned Illinois for him corruptly, and they turned West Virginia for him, probably other states too, but those are the two that we know the most about. And that's how John F. Kennedy got elected. Then he appointed his brother Bobby Kennedy as attorney general, and what did Bobby Kennedy do? Immediately went after the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
So the mafia felt double-crossed. Now, did that have anything to do with the assassination of John F. Kennedy in 1963 and the assassination of Bobby Kennedy in 1968? There's evidence that it does. For example, Sam Giancana's son wrote a book, and in it he said that was the connection right there, because he said my father Sam said if you want to kill a dog, and he was referring to Bobby Kennedy who was going after him, if you want to kill a dog, and he called Bobby Kennedy the tail of the dog, and Jack Kennedy was the head of the dog. He said, if you want to kill a dog, you don't cut off the tail, you cut off the head, then the tail dies. That's the story that Sam Giancana's, I believe it was his son or son-in-law, said he was told. 9:59 is our Hill Country Patriot time. We're almost out of here, Allison.
We are.
We will be back. We are also at hillcountrypatriot.com and firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. So we'll be back with that and a whole lot more next Saturday here at 8 o'clock. And, again, be careful out there. There's a lot of fog going on. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. So, Allison, say good night, Allison.
Good night, Gracie.
Good night, Allison. Join us next Saturday at 8 o'clock for Bill and Allison, the Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
KRNH HD2, Kerrville, K271CH, Fredericksburg, K2A2BI, Kerrville, the Hill Country Patriot.